Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today on our broadcast, we'll continue our study focused on God's plan through the ages, and I want to start where we concluded last week. We had traced through the first seven chapters of Genesis. Today we'll start with Genesis 8, and we'll move through the Bible. Genesis 1 through 12 would be a record of the first 2,000 years of human history, from Adam to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the call of Abram, a Gentile from Ur of the Chaldees. He will travel to the land that God had promised him, and there become the father of the Jewish people. In order to understand the future, as foretold in Bible prophecy, we must know about the history of humankind, and that can only be found in the Bible. Let's begin our study in Genesis chapter 8.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
And then the revival and the setting up again of a opportunity to allow God to use His plan among men in throughout the ages. In chapter 8, we see that Noah is able with his three sons and their four wives to have survived the flood. Chapter 9, verse 1, God gives a command to Noah and for his three sons to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And then in chapter 10, we see the record of obedience, and we look at the three boys, Japheth, Ham, and Seth, and as they move out, they establish nations upon the face of the earth. Nations come into existence 4,500 years ago after the flood as the three sons of Noah follow the command. They would raise a family. They would take them to a certain piece of real estate in the world. They would teach them a brand new language because the one language of the world had been confused. Now they all had to learn new languages, and that helped them establish then these nations. And as you notice at the end of each chronological genealogy of Seth and of Ham and of Japheth, they were establishing nations someplace in this world. Chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. And we see a great city is brought into existence, a prototype for chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, and a one-world headquarters for the economic, political, governmental system of the world, located in the literal city of Babylon. The rest of chapter 11, verse 4, is talking about a religiosity, a mother-son cult. Remember, chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, verse 5, says Babylon is the mother of all harlots. And that mother-son cult established 4,500 years ago culminates with everything coming to pass in the city of Rome, chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. We see that God raises up human government. Back in chapter 9, He brought into existence, in Genesis chapter 9, into existence human government. And since that time, He has used human government to move humankind in the direction He wanted them to go. Chapter 12 now, we come to the beginning of a new segment of the human family. In this first 2,000 years, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 12, from Adam to Abraham, there's only been Gentiles upon the face of the earth. The word Gentile is first used in the book of Genesis, chapter 10 and verse 5. These are the isles of the Gentiles. That Hebrew word is goy for Gentile, goyim for Gentiles, the plural. But that's the first time it's used, and that's all that were in existence during that first 2,000 years of human history. Now, there were believing Gentiles and non-believing Gentiles. For example, Cain was a non-believing Gentile. Abel was a believing Gentile. Seth was a believing Gentile. Enoch was a believing Gentile. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they were believing Gentiles. But there were non-believing Gentiles throughout those 2,000 years of history and those first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis as well. Because a person was a believing Gentile did not make him a Christian. You don't put Christians in here. That's that other theology that approaches their study of the Word of God from an allegorical interpretation are a spiritualizing interpretation, a non-literal interpretation. So if we're going to stay literal to the Word of God, we have to realize that in that first 2,000 years, Genesis 1 to Genesis 12, only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. When you come to Genesis chapter 12, notice what the text tells us, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Look at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. You cannot have a nation unless you have a land. Piece of real estate is essential in order for you to be a nation. God is introducing the Abrahamic covenant here, and he's going to bring into existence now the second strand of the human family. So from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years, Genesis 1 to Genesis 12, only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. Some believing Gentiles, some lost Gentiles, non-believing Gentiles. When he brings Abram into existence, and Abraham is not, listen to me, is not going to be the father of the Arab world. That's an impossibility. Just look back for a moment. Look back here in chapter 10, and let me show you something. Chapter 10 and verse 6. Now, these are the sons of Ham. Cush, that's Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan. Hebrew for Egypt is Mizraim, the next country or nation mentioned. And verse 6, Put, that's modern-day Libya. Notice here in verse 8, and Cush begot Nimrod. And then in verse 10, it says, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, last part of verse 10, in the land of Shinar. That's modern-day Iraq. Now, this is prior to Abraham coming on the scene in chapter 12. In fact, it's 262 years prior to Abraham coming on the scene. How do I know? I read the genealogies. I told you, genealogies are great information. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. You need to read the genealogies. Usually you add the numbers up starting there in chapter 11, verse 10, as well as I can. But I'm telling you that Abraham did not establish the Arab world. Abraham is going to be the father of the Jewish nation. We're going to see that unfold. And as he fathers it, then that heritage of Judaism is going to pass along to his son Isaac. That'll pass along to his grandson Jacob. And we'll see the establishment of the second strand of the human family. Remember chapter 10, verse 32 of the book of 1 Corinthians? Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. We're looking at God's plan throughout the ages. He brings now the Jewish people into existence. We'll see why in just a moment. But notice the Arab world is already on the scene before Abraham comes along. And for sure, by the time Ishmael comes along, these Arab nations are up and running, operating already on the world scene. By the way, if you look at the text, and again, if you want to know what God's plan for the ages is, you look to the Word of God. Chapter 17 and verse 20 of the book of Genesis, God tells Abraham, your son Ishmael is going to be the father of one nation. A great nation. Chapter 25 and verse 18 of the book of Genesis, Abraham's son Ishmael went to a place called in the Bible, described by biblical geographical information, as the country of Arabia then, the land of the area of Arabia, which we know as modern-day Saudi Arabia. And so Ishmael established one nation, and that was Arabia, Saudi Arabia. If you know anything about Islam, Muhammad, when he established in the 6th century the Islamic faith, he made this statement, I am a direct descendant of Ishmael, part of one of those 12 tribes that when Ishmael got to Arabia, he had 12 sons and established. By the way, you know what these boys were called? They were Islamic fighters. Now, that's before the Islamic religiosity had come on the scene. It was an Arabic word, which means brain under submission. Chapter 16 of the book of Genesis said that Ishmael will raise his hand against every man, and every man's hand will be raised against him. He'll be a wild man, like a wild donkey. And his 12 sons followed suit. What his sons would do was try to take over the tribes that each of those 12 sons had established in Arabia. And as they were going into the area of one of their brothers, when they brought him under submission, they were called Islamic fighters, because that's the word Islam in Arabic. Submission, not peace. Salam is peace in Arabic. And so he brought these people under submission. Anyway, we see Abraham now coming on the scene. The Jewish people are going to come into existence, and God's going to select them for a special purpose. He puts Jerusalem, Ezekiel 5:5, in the center of the earth. He puts all the nations around Jerusalem. He does that, and he divides the numbers of the people into these different nations, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8, by the number of the Jewish people. Not because they were the greatest in number, they were the fewest in number, but he had a plan. God has a plan. God is laying it out in his word. That's why we need to have an understanding of his plan in the past, so we can know how the future is going to unfold. And so he does that. Go to chapter 7, just a moment, of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is key for us understanding that God is choosing the Jewish people for a special purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. God is selecting the Jewish people. They're not going to be set aside later. They're not going to be replaced by the church, which is what that other theology says will happen. They are a special people, a chosen people, for a special purpose. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now notice how this happened and why it happened. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people. And by the way, you could really add in there if you wanted to, looking at the history of the Jewish people over 4,000 years, well, you're not going to be an obedient people all the time either. You're not going to always honor me. You're not always going to do what I tell you to do. In fact, you're going to be so bad, I'm going to have to scatter you to the four corners of the earth. Here's how he chose them and why he chose them. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you. I wrote over that verse in my Bible, grace, G-R-A-C-E. By God's grace, he chose these people. That's the only reason he chose me and you and all of us in the room. By his grace, he chose these people to come into existence. Go back to chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. God is going to give Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people in essence, four covenants that are key to understanding God's plan in this age and past ages and future ages for the Jewish people, which is a part of his entire plan. We cannot set the Jews aside. We set the Jews aside, we negate the truths of God's word about our salvation. We cannot set the Jews aside.
If indeed we try to set the Jews aside as if God does not have a plan for them in the future, then we will never understand God's plan for the future. I must also add that if God sets the Jews aside and fails to keep his promises to the Jewish people found in the four covenants that he gave the Jews, then we have no basis to believe that he will keep his promises about salvation to you and me. Next week, we'll look at those four Jewish covenants and see the future for the Jewish people in God's plan through the ages. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...